Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Let's go to the book of Ephesians. And look with me in the second chapter of Ephesians. And you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now, say the spirit that now.
Spirit.
The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. I wrote out in my Bible, that is not me. Now, it didn't say in those that are unsaved. He's not writing this to unsaved people. He's writing it to the church at Ephesus, among whom also we all had our conversation or our manner of life in times past in the lusts of our flesh, particularly in the King James translation. The word lust is used a lot. It's been connected to sexual lust so long that people just automatically think about that. Lust is pressure. It's pressure being put on you. Well, sexual temptation is an enormous pressure. But now let me give you an idea here, to take you to the place that I'm referring. When the scripture says, sorrow not as the others who have no hope. Now, Rick, how do you pronounce that Greek word for grief?
Lupe.
Yeah, lupe. And that's the word used there. It said, don't grieve. Don't be doing that. The Lord began to deal with me on the word sorrow. In the book of Isaiah, in the King James translation, sickness and pain is translated grief and sorrow. And the Lord kept pointing out to me about the time that my mother went home to be with the Lord. And he'd already started dealing with me on that. He said, why do you use that word so much? If you need to apologize to somebody, say so. But quit passing the sorrow around. I'm sorry. Well, are you? What's wrong with you? Does that mean you're no good? I mean, what does that mean? Well, no, I was apologizing. Well, why don't you use the word apologize? Instead of a word that's connected to grief. Brother Copeland, you just split hairs. And I split them every day. When it comes to the things that come out of my mouth, particularly when they get down in my heart, they stay there long enough, they mess up your life. And there are people that, I mean, just all the time, oh, sorry, 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 sorry. What about? Well, I stepped in your way. Well, why didn't you say, excuse me? Instead of telling me how sorry you are. The devil will use the dictionary on you. Because he's a legalist. And he deals in sorrow. Now, this came to the place, people kept coming around to me. Oh, Brother Copeland, now listen to this. I'm so sorry you lost your mother. I didn't lose her. She just left town.
That's right.
A few years later, she and mother got back together. When he left. Well, I didn't know. We're going to learn something here. And I began to notice it. People yielding to the pressure of grief. No one thinks about lust when they think about grief. But now I've watched this. Took careful notice. And being around a homegoing situation, particularly around people, you know, that don't know, and you can't blame them or hold them accountable for something they just don't know anything about. And you get in the atmosphere. And when you get in that atmosphere, it's easy to cry. It is really easy. Now, Billy, you back me in this. You've experienced it. It is easy to cry. And you walk in there, you feel good till you walk in the front door of the funeral home. And you walk in that atmosphere, and all of a sudden, this crying thing comes on you. And it's easy. And if you're not careful, you begin to weep. That's not all bad, but you better know your business. And here's what the Lord said to me. The people that just say, well, just cry it out. It's so easy. But here's the thing. It doesn't feel bad. It feels good. The weeping feels good. Now, I have wept before the Lord. And you want me to tell you something? That's fun.
Yeah, it is.
It's true. I mean, that's just fun, man. Glory to God. And you just come to that place where is this such a precious moment, and you just weep before Him. Now, a couple of years ago, I really didn't intend to do it, but I said something to Gloria. But it came out hard. And I saw that it hurt her. And it grieved me. I fell on my face and wept before her. And I began to see what it's like when we grieve the Lord. It brings Him to weeping. Because we put Him in a place where He can't help us. Anyway, and here's what the Lord said. When a person yields to that and never tries to correct it, and you just weep it out, it is over in the emotional area, in the pull and the push. It is over in that emotional area where sexual satisfaction is. It's that same part of your emotional makeup. But if you don't resist it, if you completely yield to it, then the spirit of grief doesn't go away. And that's a problem. He just moves in. The spirit of grief is the spirit of death. Grief and death work together. And you heard me mention this before. Grief, when you haven't lost anything, is depression. You get grieved. And, just nobody. I don't understand. I don't understand why nobody cares. I don't know what it is. And you don't get into that thinking about anybody else. You get into it thinking about yourself. And like Gloria said, you think about yourself all the time. And I mean, that'd depress anybody. So, once we see that word, lust, check it out. Look at some other translations. See what it says. Since Rick Renner lives so far away from me, at least I have a Blue Bible app, and I can go check things out and see. And anyway. Because these words are in here dealing with where we're going. Thank you, Lord. Let's start with that third verse again. Among whom also we had our manner of life in times past, in the lust, the pressures of human flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So the desires of the flesh, there's a whole lot more to the desire of the flesh than just in the sex and emotional area. I got so tired of being a pig, I looked up the word glutton. Everywhere you find the word glutton, you find the word drunkard. That is a lust of the flesh. It's the work in the children of disobedience. I was born again, spirit-filled man, and I didn't know what to do about it. And so I took hold of that. And you know, I don't know, I got this weird way about me, but so I said, okay, I see it. And so, and for a long time, somebody would offer me a piece of cake or something, and I'd say, no, thank you, I don't drink. What did he mean? And I just smiled. Nobody yet has ever asked me why I said that. I think they were afraid to ask. But it got my attention. And it renewed my mind. And it put those kind of foods in the class where I needed them to be. For a long time, several years, when I read, offer my body as a living sacrifice. For several years, Rick, I referred to my body as my sacrifice until it became real. Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing inside us, our hope of glory. So that hope of glory is on the inside of me, and I will meditate on that and meditate on that and meditate on that, and meditate on that, and think about that by faith until the title deed of it comes up on the inside of me, so that when I lay hands on someone, I fully expect the glory to manifest. And before, I never thought about the glory when I laid hands on someone, but I will now.
Yes.
I expect it. Yes. Hallelujah. It's my hope of glory. Well, what is hope? Huh?
Confident expectation.
Yes, it is. And what is faith? Substance of the things we hope for. So we have hope. Yeah, and I've got faith. It's working. Well, anyway, let's go on now. I could preach on each one of these verses. But I better go on. But God, Now there's a good idea. But God, say it. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive together with Christ, with the Messiah, with the Anointed One. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and we're not having any problems up there. Now, how can we become more seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenlies so that that becomes an awareness all the time? But God, who is rich, that means he's abundantly supplied in mercy. Wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins and made alive together with Christ, by grace are you saved. And he's already done this. He raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. Well, now, wait a minute. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Well, what's the gift of God? Huh? The faith and the grace. They'd have to. Yeah. Well, of course, he's referring to faith. But then in the book of Romans, what did he say? It is by faith so that it might be by grace. So they have to be in that order. But that gift of grace, I mean, that was the beginning of everything. But faith. It came. Hallelujah. And it's still in there. Amen. So, continue. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained or prepared that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. At that time, say at that time. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants, plural, of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And I'm very sad to say that there are multiplied billions of Christians all over the world that are strangers to those covenants. They don't even know there is a covenant. They're not really aware of the word covenant. It's just the Old Testament and the New Testament. And not take time to figure out what that word was translated. Testament, covenant was translated testament. That's it. Exactly. I remember the day that hit me. And it hit me like somebody slapped me. Dear Lord, I'm certain. No, I'm not certain, but I sense this, that the early English translators were doing their best to show us that these two testaments are God's will. That's what a testimony is. That's what a testament is. It's a witness. It is a testament. It is the will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only man ever to leave a will and then get raised from the dead and probate his own will. Cause his own will to come to pass. When we say what he says about what he did. Strangers, say strangers. 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 Strangers from the covenants of promise. Now, I want to look at something here before we go to the book of Genesis. Thank you, Lord. In 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 1, Peter, a servant, or a better translation is, Peter, a slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according. It's according to something. As His divine power has given unto us, how many things? All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue or excellence, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I like to put it like this. They are given to us exceeding great and precious covenant promises. Now, Christians read that all the time and still covenant never crosses their mind because pastors don't preach it. It doesn't cross their mind because they weren't taught it. And too many schools of theology are not teaching it. I'll tell you someplace where they do get it.
Glory.
And that's KCBC. But that's the only one that I'm responsible for. But you have to be covenant-minded all the time. And I recognize this in such a great way. The first time I met Bishop David Oyedepo. And he would lock himself up till he got an assignment from God. And then he'd just go do it. First time I met him, he said, "Now, Brother Copeland, now what you see here costs $250 million, U.S. No American money, no borrowed money, faith in God." He said, phase two is $250 million U.S., and the money is in the bank for that. And he talked about learning it from my book on the laws of prosperity. He said, "I got the healing part, but the prosperity part I'm struggling with." But he said, and he set himself apart. But he said, it's when I got Mama Gloria's book on prosperity is the will of God for you. And he said, "I saw it. Prosperity is a covenant." So he activated his covenant with God. God told him what to do. And he said, "Okay. Now just show me how." And as we discussed, he said, "When I read, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His way of being right, and all these things will be added to you, that's all I need, because that is blood-backed." Amen. It's just no problem. He said it in His covenant, and He told me to do it, And there is no doubt but what it will come to pass.
In a world where life is uncertain and changing daily, you need an unshakable confidence to stand strong. God made a covenant by blood to make His strength, power, and wisdom available to you. Kenneth Copeland's teaching series, Covenant Made by Blood, contains 6 messages which will help you understand the depth of the covenant connection God has with you. It'll give you the ability to build a solid foundation of peace and security. This KCM foundational teaching series on MP3 disc comes with a companion study guide, which will unpack the revelation that you are backed by a big God and therefore cannot fail. Each of these powerful messages will unpack the revelation of our covenant. Devote time each day and listen to these impactful messages. Set your course with God's promises for what's ahead. Establish your heart on an unbreakable bond, which gives you confidence to live a life with boldness. Receive the powerful blessings of God's covenant for you. God's covenant with you is His greatest act of love. Request your free Covenant Made by Blood package from Kenneth Copeland Ministries at kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Gain deeper insight into the finished work of God's covenant through Jesus Christ. This free offer is good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
The Sacramento Victory Campaign starts this week, May 12th to the 14th, at Family Community Church in North Highlands, California. Join Kenneth Copeland and Pastors George and Terry Pearsons for 3 power-packed days in the Word of God. Come and experience God's presence and receive answers from Him. There is something about being there in person. This is a time for you and your family to be refreshed and encouraged in an atmosphere charged with faith. This is a free event to attend, so make your plans to be there. For all the information on the Sacramento Victory Campaign, go to kcm.org. There are also other ways to stay connected to KCM. You can watch the broadcast, read the BVOV magazine, receive Brother Copeland's partner letters, call our prayer line, or visit kcm.org, or follow us on social. Thank you, partners. Because of your faithfulness, we have been able to make these ministry resources available free to people all around the world. Kenneth Copeland Ministries celebrates 55 years of ministry this year. Together with you and Jesus, we are preaching the uncompromised word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. Thank you for joining us today. Tomorrow, Brother Copeland teaches us, as a child of God, we have the firstborn status with Jesus. Your covenant with God made you a somebody. This is Duane Munoz reminding you that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Find out more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith. Visit our website, kcm.org.